or that special number, take your Bible with me. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in your Bible with me this morning. We'll read again the passage that we read a moment ago because it is so brief. It continues with a message that I had begun, which will be a three-part series, Lord willing, a message that I'd begun last Sunday morning on purity. I expanded that message on Wednesday night into a detailed Bible study concerning the matter of practical purity, and then today I'm going to continue. Now, the theme of the message is more and more, and so we find in the first part of the verses in chapter number 4, we find that we're to abound more and more in purity. But then we also find that we're to abound in something else more and more, and that begins in chapter 4 at verse number 9. Chapter 4, verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed you do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase, notice those words, more and more. So it is not just a matter of purity that should increase more and more, but according to the Bible, it is a matter of love that should increase more and more. And then he describes some of the characteristics of that love, that brotherly love, what we can expect those to be in the following verse, verse number 11. And that ye study to be quiet. Now that is connected with love. Knowing when to speak is important. Knowing when not to speak is more important. Knowing when not to speak is more important. It is not a manifestation of Christian love when you characterize people as worldly. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. And that ye walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing. More and more purity. And the next thought, more and more Christian love. I'm speaking this morning to an audience of people who are imperfect, including this preacher. But part of the manifestation of that relationship that we have for those of us who are saved, for those of us who are in Christ, part of the manifestation of that is a natural love that should be extended to every person in the congregation, regardless of their spiritual growth or lack thereof. That is a very firm principle of the Bible. For anyone to believe that somehow they're more spiritually mature than other people is carnality, and it is pride. The Bible is very clear that love should be natural among Christians. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. It is interesting that he says, you don't need for me to write to you, but then he writes to them. It is always a good reminder, because as human beings sometimes, we fall into the place of criticism rather than into the place of love. And he defines the kind of love that he's speaking about in this passage, he defines it as a brotherly love. In other words, as a love that is in relationship with some, that involves a family tie. It is something, therefore, that should not be forced and should be very natural. In other words, for Christian people to love one another without respect to their level of growth or advancement in the Christian faith, but to simply love people because they are people, and all of us sinners saved by grace, to simply love people because they are people, and to love them unconditionally, and to help them where they are to where they ought to be, that is always our goal, is something that should be basic and natural. And it means as a pastor that I'm very careful in my approach. By the way, I want to say something clearly to the congregation this morning. As I look out at you, I love this congregation. I love you. I've served you now for 17 years. That means that you've put up with me for 17 years, and I'm well aware of that. I've served you now for 17 years, and I love you as a congregation. look this way, congregation. I know the wrinkles in the fabric of this church. I do. I know more than you'd care to know. I know the blemishes that exist in every local church, more than you can ever imagine. Some folks think they know, but they don't have a clue. But I do know. I do know that every person in this room is a work in progress. And I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. I do know that in a work of progress, we will one day be presented faultless before Him in His presence. I know that one day, according to Ephesians, we will be without spot and without blemish, a glorious church. But until that time, we will be involved in something that is called Christian growth, which is messy. We will be involved in something called Christian growth, which is a struggle, which for some is more rapid than for others, but we are in the hopes that all are proceeding that direction. In the course of that, wherein there lie differences among people, the salve that holds a congregation that is diverse, and by diverse I don't mean the word diversity is used today to mean every, you know, weirdo and odd duck thing in the world. But by diverse I just mean the word different. The salve that holds that congregation together is an unconditional love for people where they are. When I first came to our church, I often repeated a phrase, and maybe somehow over the years I figured everyone got it, and so then I kind of stopped repeating it, but let me repeat it again. It is a phrase that has characterized my ministry. Love people no matter what. Love people no matter what. That's hard. If you're a pastor, you understand how hard that is. Because you're not always loved back. You give, and you sacrifice, and you invest more time than anyone can imagine. You make personal sacrifices to serve the Lord and to give in ministry. You go above and beyond to the extent that at times your family makes a forced sacrifice. When you're a pastor, this is what happens. This is not a game with me. I want everyone to listen to what I'm saying. This is not a game with me, nor is church a hobby. It's important. It's important because for 17 years, I've given my life to the ministry of the preaching of the Word of God. Is everybody listening? Hope you're listening. We're going somewhere. Visitors, just sit back and enjoy the ride. I'm saying, as pastor of our congregation this morning, that it troubles me. When I hear of discord. Now, if you have a problem, always feel free to come and knock on my door. Give me a call. For those who wonder, my telephone number is published right in the church bulletin. But it's important to remember, if there's a problem, that we don't spread problems or made up problems, but rather we go to the person, and only to the person, who has the ability to solve or address the issue. To seek to form some kind of coalition is damaging to the Lord's church. I'm not afraid to address issues when they come. I do fear that sometimes we become careless in what we say about other people. It bothers me because in our text we're told that brotherly love should continue and should be natural among Christians. Our text explains that we're taught of God, but not only should it be natural, it should be careful. And by the way, I'm being careful. Verse number 11. And that ye should study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. Love is genuinely careful. Love is not interested in verbally planting seeds of dissent. It just isn't, because it's careful. Genuine love understands that if you have a problem, you deal with the people that are the problem, not everybody else around. Love knows when it shouldn't say anything. Look this way, congregation. I bite my tongue a lot. Not today, but a lot. I'm preventing a problem and addressing an issue. I bite my tongue when I could say some things that would be awfully hurtful that I know for a fact. I bite my tongue when someone tries to pull a mote out of the eye of his brother and has a beam, or as Jesus said, a beam, the word means 2x4, in his own eyes. And your pastor has to bite his tongue. But I won't allow harm to come to the congregation. As the leader of the church, and that is what the pastor is, the word elder means leader. Several times in the Bible, I'm called on to rule the congregation. That's what the Bible says. As the leader of the church, there will come a point in time, and this is very rare here. In 17 years, you've never had a sermon like this on a Sunday morning. There comes a point in time when I need to intervene for the sake of clarity. That is this morning. If I love people where they are and love them to where they ought to be and look at them with a heart of sincere compassion and recognize but that there for the grace of God, there go I. When I do that, I am fulfilling the scripture. When I fail in that, I am not abounding more and more. I'm moving backwards. The idea of studying to be quiet means to not aspire to prominence. It means to be careful about what we say, not characterized by gossip, slander, or criticism. It means that we should not make too much of an effort to place things on our own self-expression. I learned a long time ago that to be successful in ministry, you have to be careful what you say. Can I say, as a Christian, to be successful in Christianity, you need to be careful what you say? The Bible says in James chapter 3 that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and it sets the whole course of nature on fire, and the tongue itself is set on fire of hell. God looked at the tongue of human beings and said that it is such a dangerous thing, he put it between two sets of teeth that form prison bars. And sometimes the more that the tongue is held behind the prison bars and the words of Scripture that we study to be quiet, the better off we are. I'm simply saying that we do untold damage to people when we overtly criticize them rather than love them. I've made a habit in 17 years of being your pastor to attempt, albeit imperfectly, I acknowledge, to attempt to love everyone. If I make an error in this church, and please hear me, what I'm saying is not going to change. And you're not going to change my opinion after the service by talking to me. If I make an error here, I will err on the side of loving people. Did everyone hear? Now, I'm not trying to make an error. I'm not trying to do that. But if I do, I hope to err on the side of loving people. Does everyone understand that? Because somehow when I stand before the Lord, I doubt very seriously that the Lord Jesus is going to say, Monty, you love those people way too much. Monty, you put up with too much out of those people. Monty, you knew that they had problems. You should have kicked them out. I don't misunderstand. There's a place for church discipline. But before that ever happens, there is a huge place for love. Does everyone hear what I'm saying? Well, I hope this is coming across loud and clear. Our love should be focused. Look at verse number 11, if you would. That he study to be quiet. Notice these words, to do your own business. To do your own business. What does that mean? Maintaining those things that are your business. Our main focus in life should be those things that are our business. That's always a good principle. It would be somewhat incongruous if I interfered with your business profession, told you how to run your business. It would be odd because I don't know how to run your business. I just don't know. And your business is none of my business. It's your business. Now, if you came for advice and asked me about something, I might know something about some small area that perhaps I could be an encouragement about. But my main focus should be on what God has given me to do. What has God given me to do? God has given me to be pastor of our church. That's the business God's given me to do. I've been pastoring now for over 25 years. May I say, in that time, I've seen it come and go. I've seen it up and down. I've seen it in and out. And may I assure you of something? I know what I'm doing. Now, that's not a prideful thing to say. The Bible says he, God, hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. That does not mean that I'm not open to criticism. I am, and I'm glad to hear anyone's issue, if they'll bring it to my office and bring it to me personally, and just come and talk to me. I'm very approachable. But I think it's counterproductive when we go around to other people and talk about those things, or stir it up among other people, numbers of them. And it hurts. See, I could be preaching a message this morning that would help the majority of the room. I'm not. I'm stuck trying to fix something. I'm not afraid to do it either. Now, congregation, if we focus where we should, we will also find ourselves productive. Look at verse number 11. He says this, that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business, and notice these words, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That's productivity. It speaks of honest labor, but it speaks of people that are busily engaged in productive labor, not things that are destructive. And we can do both, and we need to be careful. Not only is love productive and love is focused, but I want you to notice this. Love is also obedient. Notice the words in verse number 11, as we commanded you. The Bible should be our highest priority in living. It's the thing that we take most seriously. Congregation, look at me, please. My responsibility is to explain to you what this book says. It's not to make it up as I go along. You'll notice that most frequently, not always, but most frequently in our church, I use what's called an expositional method in preaching. It simply means I go verse by verse and draw the points of the sermon from the verses. That's what it means. Because it's not my job to be the chef God is the chef who prepared the meal. It is my job to be the waiter who brings the meal to the table without messing it up. That's my job. So hence, when we preach, we try to go verse by verse through the Bible, explaining clearly what it means. And that is productive. And we do so because we believe that the Bible is the Word of God, and it's the commandments of the Lord, and we're to honor Him. It is to be our highest priority. When I was a young preacher, it was very easy to come up with clever little sermons and then hunt for a verse to justify it. When I was young, every young preacher goes through that stage. It's very typical. But you know what I found out? Verse by verse exposition of the Bible, going through it carefully, addresses every issue you could possibly come across. That's what I discovered. And I feel that that's the most healthy, because it's not just the words of the preacher, it's the words of God. And all we're doing is explaining what God said, and that should carry with it a natural authority, where the Bible says, as we've commanded you. Love should be obedient. Love should be honest, verse number 12, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye have lack of nothing. Honesty, just honesty. It's good to be forthright. That's what your pastor is doing this morning. I'm being forthright. That's a good thing. One does this out of a heart of love and not wanting to see people hurt. Love doesn't just smooth over things. Love tells the truth. That's why I come to you and urge you about the matter of practicing genuine love. And what would happen if this took place? Well, verse number 12, I think, is clear. That you may have lack of nothing. The idea is to not be wanting. Christians, we're told, have been given all things that pertain to life and to godliness. But the Bible also tells us that we have these treasures, the gospel being the primary focus of that passage, that we have these treasures in earthen vessels. What does it mean, earthen vessels, preacher? Listen, congregation, just listen. Earthen vessels mean imperfect vessels. So no one seated here is perfect. Earthen vessels are not the fanciest vessels in the world, but we have this treasure, the gospel, the Word of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's a wonderful thing about God. He takes imperfect earthen vessels. I love the people I'm looking at right now. I love my congregation. There's not a perfect one out there. But He takes imperfect earthen vessels, and in the person of the Holy Spirit who comes to dwell inside when we get saved, He takes up camp in our lives. He fills that earthen vessel with the glory of God. That glory of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is a seal to the day of redemption. It's a guarantee that one day when we stand before Him, we will be complete. But until we are complete, the process of sanctification is messy. I wish that I could hurry that process along, but I can't. I can open the Bible, and I can preach it, and I can love the congregation, as I will continue to do for many years to come, should the Lord tarry His coming. I can love the congregation, and I can pray, and we can all love one another and actually grow in grace. I think that's the heart burden of the passage this morning. Now let me just say how important it is for us to consider if what we're doing is out of genuine love for one another. How important. How important it is for us to say to ourselves, is this productive or is this harmful? How important it is to say to ourselves, I will go to the person who can make a difference, and only to that person, because to do anything else would be counterproductive. I want to help. I've pastored for 25 years, and I think I've seen it all. So please, look at your Bible. Let brotherly love continue. Indeed, he says in verse 10, speaking of this brotherly love, you do it all toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia. And then he says these words, increase more and more. Let's be careful as a congregation to do exactly that. Lord, thank you for your word this morning and its clarity. I pray, Lord, that you will use your word preached to help us and to strengthen us in the brotherly bond that should always exist in this place. Help us, Lord, to guard our attitudes and our hearts. Give us significant grace in these matters. We pray in Jesus' name.